edition of Mr. Irrelevant with you. Live on the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. Presented by the delicious, the wonderful, the award-winning Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All studio in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Producer Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn, with you back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Hope everybody had a lovely Mother's Day, celebrating all the moms. I mean, I know I did for the most part, but my weekend was a tad derailed yesterday, Hunter. As I ended up being about 3.5 hours late for the Mother's Day celebration for my mom. Thoughts?
So you're a terrible son. Like, we're just going to start there. Is that what you're about to tell me?
No. So it wasn't my fault. I was up ready to go.
Sure.
So Saturday I was in Oshkosh for ACW Wrestling Con, which was a blast, by the way. I had a good time.
Cool.
Out in Oshkosh. Stayed the night in a hotel in Oshkosh. Woke up. Had a flat tire. My back right tire, so passenger side back tire, rim on the ground. I'm like, oh no, I don't have a spare. So I drive this thing up to a local Quick Trip in Oshkosh, and because they have free air there. Lovely, right? So I start putting air in it. I get it a little bit higher off the ground, and then all of a sudden the hole is blowing air at me. So I'm like, okay, we're at limited time here. I'm not going to be able to fix this thing. So I drive it another like 2 miles to a Walmart where I bring it in. I'm like, hey, here's the situation. Can you patch it? And they go, no, it's on the side of the tire. You can't patch that. It's illegal. We got to give you a new tire. And I said, okay, that's fine as long as you can do it soon. They're like, well, we got a little bit of a line in front of you, but we're the only place open on a Sunday. So, you know, this is your best bet. Yeah, fine. All right. That's fine. So I end up spending 3 hours in the Oshkosh Walmart waiting for my tire to be swapped out, Hunter. I got there just shortly before 11 a.m. I walked out shortly after 2 p.m. My phone was at 1% for the final hour. Luckily, it didn't die. But yeah, that was my yesterday. So new tire on the car. I don't know if somebody was out to get me or if it was a pothole, but no spare really came back to bite me there yesterday, Hunter. Not great.
Yeah, not having the spare is tough. So if you spent the night, you would have had a phone charger with you, right? I'm just going
to
start with
plug it in. Yeah, I forgot to plug it in.
Strofe. Like, yeah, I'm keeping it up there. You're a bad son. Like, you got to plug the phone in before Mother's Day. Like, you got to be ready to go. Like, you got to bring your A game as
well,
a son.
You gotta
You've got to be
on.
Ready.
You got to understand. You got to understand. I have a car charger. So my plan was from Oshkosh to the Green Bay area is about an hour. So I figured the hour I'm in the car, I can charge my phone. But it turned out I couldn't charge my phone because I wasn't in my car because it was getting worked on for an hour.
And you couldn't go into the Walmart and buy something to charge your phone.
I could have bought like a wireless charger, I guess. I didn't even think
about
that.
Yeah, you could have. And is this the Walmart that's right off of 41 there?
It is, yes, correct.
Yeah, so there's like a Subway or something right there. You could have just walked in there, sat down at the table, plugged in, and just hung out there. So there's...
I can happily report. Hold on, I can happily report I did spend my money there yesterday.
Okay, see...
I did eat lunch there.
Yeah. See, so yeah, you could have just done that. You didn't know that you can't patch a side hole on your tire?
I gotta be honest with you, Hunter, I don't know that I've ever had a flat tire before. So that was the first time for me. So that was unique, but overall, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I still think you're a bad son.
I mean, I spent like 5 hours with my mom yesterday. I brought her flowers, I brought her wine. I don't know.
Could have been 8 hours though.
Blame whatever happened to my tire. Whether that was somebody putting a knife in it or if I hit a pothole, I don't know who I pissed off
then,
well enough.
Then
it, was
who
like
are
a,
you?
It was like a straight line. Like, I don't know who's out to get me, but it was like an inch and a half line. Like, it looked like it may have been intentional, which is the weird part because my car was sitting for a week prior to that. So I don't know if somebody was just going around stabbing tires or what. I mean, I don't have a Kia, so the Kia boys weren't out to get me. But yeah, I mean, it was a tough break. So what do you do? It is what it is.
Yeah, but you're still a bad son then because you're living your life in a way that someone's going to slash your tires. So you're a bad son.
No! Nobody should be out to get me. I just got here, man. I've been in Milwaukee for 2.5 weeks.
That only makes it worse.
Fair point. So that was my weekend. Otherwise, it was a good weekend. Good Mother's Day. But anyway, good to be back with you on a Monday. This week marks NFL schedule release week. That will come out Wednesday. It's scheduled for Wednesday night at 7 o'clock local time. I imagine we will have the full schedule, though, sometime Wednesday morning. It typically gets leaked. There's a couple of people. Shout out to Kyle Cousineau, who's dubbed by Jason Wilde the mayor of Green Bay. And he always seems to get the scoop on the schedule. So keep an eye out for that coming up on Wednesday. But I do want to pop out. I know Hunter has a graphic of each of the Packers opponents, both on the home and the road coming up this year. And I think there are several games that naturally catch your eye when it comes to the Packers schedule this upcoming season. So obviously you have the divisional opponents each away and home. So that's six games of the 17 game schedule overall. And those are big always for obvious reasons, right? Divisional standings. The Lions are clearly the team to beat. The Bears rivalry seems to be rejuvenated, and the Vikings are always the Vikings, man. I just don't think you're going to get New Year's Eve-esque Vikings that you got last year who just didn't show up with a third string quarterback, although I have no faith in J.J. McCarthy. There was a video circulating this weekend of J.J. McCarthy throwing to a coach who was standing still to his left side, and he missed him. He can't throw to his left. It's fascinating to me. Anyway, but the divisional games are always big. The other games that catch my eye in a huge way for different reasons are the following. Obviously, week one, we know what the Packers have. They're going to Brazil. They're playing the Philadelphia Eagles. Those are two of the better teams in the NFC. And although it's a week one game, it still could come back to play a big role when it comes to playoff standings. I think both of those teams are playoffs as it stands on May 13th, right? The Eagles are in a tough division, as the Packers are. But those are two teams, even if they're wild card teams, that could sneak in, if not both divisional winners. So I think that week one matchup on the road in, well, technically on the road, but in Brazil is a huge game. And I think it's going to be a heavy Packers crowd. So it might be a glorified home game for the Packers in week number one. A couple of other games that catch my eye, all on the home slate. Three of them. The Houston Texans are a team I compared the Packers to a lot last year. Two first-time starters, two teams that are kind of in a weird rebuild that went a lot faster for both of them in opposite conferences. And obviously, they both won playoff games on the road in the opening weekend last year. Actually, I take that back. Houston was at home. But nonetheless, they did win a playoff game last year. San Francisco, I mean, they're the best of the best when it comes to that in the NFC. I think they are a fascinating team, as always. They are still the favorite in the NFC in my eyes, and they're coming to Lambeau. And the last time the 49ers played at Lambeau wasn't a very fun result in the divisional round of the playoffs a few years back. So that's a game I have circled as a really big one. And the last one at home that gives my eyes, the Miami Dolphins. The last time we saw these two teams match up was on Christmas Day 2 years ago. And it was do or die time for that Packers team that ultimately fell in Week 18 to the Detroit Lions and missed the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers' final road game as a Packer was at Miami. So, but that's a team obviously that's viewed as an up and coming team. It's a team that has a boatload of weapons offensively, and it's an offense that John Runyon, the former Packers right guard, now with the Giants last year, compared the Packers offense to. Right? So that could be a really high-scoring, fast-paced game between the Dolphins and the Packers. So those are the games that catch my eye, and I'm curious when they land, when the schedule comes out in about 48 hours. Scheduled a little bit more than 48 hours from now, but I imagine we'll see it sometime Wednesday morning. Those are the games that catch my eye. Hunter, am I missing any that catch your eye?
Possibility of a Seattle-LA two-week road trip. I think the NFL has been doing that a little bit now for teams. So if the Packers have those two back-to-back, that could be a really tough two-game stretch for them. But that Dolphins game, I think, you know, you kind of alluded to it there. It 100% depends on when in the season they play. If this game's in December up in Lambeau, I love the Packers' chances in that game. Because we saw what Miami's like if the weather is at all bad. And they are not a good team. They're not the same team if it is sunny and it's good weather and they're able to just do whatever they want to do. So if this game's in September, then I really worry about it for the Packers. But if they can catch them in November, December, they get a crappy Midwest sort of winter day, it could be a long day for Miami.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if that's a December matchup, right? And by the way, I think what we've already learned about this schedule for the Packers with the week one announcement that they're playing the Eagles. Now, obviously, the Packers always draw, and especially in a new country that you'd never played a game in, they're going to draw a huge fan base. We know that part of it. But I think the Packers are going to get a lot of national coverage this year, right? The NFL fighting, and I think the delayed schedule, which was originally scheduled to come out last week, the pushback was a Wednesday, Christmas Day. And there's going to be Christmas Day games. I wouldn't be shocked if we see Packers on Christmas Day again. I wouldn't be shocked if we see the Packers, you know, on several Sunday night games, right? When you look at San Francisco and Houston, like those can be some intriguing Sunday night matchups or Sunday primetime matchups or even Monday night matchups on ESPN. I think they're going to get a lot of national love when this schedule comes out on Wednesday, given what they did a year ago and the expectations they have now this year. Right? I think they were still selected for a handful of national games last year, but coming up next year, like they're going to be viewed as an up and coming team, right? They're going to be in the same breath as the 49ers and the Dolphins and the Chiefs and, you know, other teams I'm probably missing, but I think they're going to get a lot of love. That game at Lambeau against Chicago will be in prime time one way or another, I would guess, just given the hype around Caleb Williams as the number one overall pick and the rejuvenation to this rivalry to a point. So schedule release has me fired up. I imagine this time on Wednesday, we will have more of an idea of what that schedule looks like through leaks and various other sources. So we'll break it down a little bit more Wednesday. And just a reminder, Wednesday night on ESPN Wisconsin, Gabe Neitzel, Josh DiMaggio, and myself will be with you from 6 to 8 p.m. breaking down the Packers schedule. Really looking forward to that and just nerding out about how the Packers schedule shakes out. 17 games, the over-unders at 9.5. So they're viewed as probably a 10-7 team, or better, or maybe a little worse come this season. But you know, it's that time of the offseason where I just get overly excited about little stuff like this. You know, rookie mini camps last week and the schedule release and eventually OTAs in a couple of weeks. You just get overly excited because there's such a hunger and an appetite for football and the NFL and what they do. So. Make a spectacle out of everything, Raj. And he surely has done that here with the schedule release coming out in 2 days. All right, biggest news, I think, of the weekend outside of some of the Brewers-Cardinals stuff in the state of Wisconsin was some college basketball news. Friend of show, Sundance Wicks, the head coach at Green Bay, has taken a job back at Wyoming. That's where he was an assistant prior to last year. He comes into Green Bay. He has a bunch of buzz around the program, leading the Horizon League for quite some time. And after 1 year, already back to Wyoming as the coach. He signs a 5-year deal with Wyoming over the weekend. And I don't know that anybody was shocked given that he's a Wyoming native. There is literally a town, Sundance, Wyoming. It's his first name. So I'm not shocked by the move, but I think Green Bay, which had some rejuvenation, right? They had butts in seats at the rec center. And this is a program I've been around for over a decade now. They want to relive the glory days of a decade ago when it was Kiefer Sykes and Alec Brown, right? Two NBA prospects. There was a ton of buzz. Packed Kohl Center, having really competitive games, which is no longer on the schedule, with Wisconsin when they were a Final Four team. And Sonny Wicks did that in 1 year. But now he's already out of town. So I went to the contact list, contacted a great friend of mine, Scott Vancey from the Green Bay Press Gazette, who broke this story over the weekend in the Green Bay Press Gazette that the conversations had started and ultimately came to a head where Sonny Wicks is accepting a deal with Wyoming. So we're going to talk with Scott a little bit about Green Bay basketball and probably whatever the heck else comes up. Always good to catch up with Scott Vancey from the Green Bay Press Gazette. We will do that in a minute. But got to tell you about my friends over at Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, and award-winning spirits. Everything they do it well. They do it better than everybody else, and they're local. You can check out their website now on the screen. You can scan the QR code to bring you to their website. They have a ginormous list of unique cocktail recipes on that website as well. The retailer nearest to you, they are the best. Bourbons, brandies, you name it, whiskeys, right? They've got a great rye whiskey, a great single malt whiskey, a great bourbon that I really enjoy. So you can check out the full list of products and unique cocktail recipes, scanning the QR code or go to their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. We're back with you in 60 seconds. Scott Vancey from the Green Bay Press Gazette joins me next. Right here on Mr. Irrelevant, I'm Alex Strofe. I'm back at the legendary Door County Distillery with the legendary Beth.
Hi.
Nothing bigger right now than espresso martinis and confession. I've never had one, Beth, so I think I need you to teach me how to make one.
It's real simple. With ours, we do our Java infusion, which is our coffee-infused spirit, our vodka, some chocolate sauce and some coconut cream, so it's dairy-free for those who can't have lactose. We're gonna start with 2.5 ounces of our Java, because this is a martini, so lots of booze.
Yes!
1.5 of our vodka, about 1/2 ounce of your chocolate syrup and your coconut cream, or cream if you prefer. Shake this for about 15 seconds.
She's a pro, I'd spill everywhere.
Strain that into our martini glass. There we go, quick and easy espresso martini.
Time to try it. First ever espresso martinis, cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, that's delicious, that's really good. I'm an espresso martini girly now, yeah, no doubt.
Who isn't?
Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com.
All right, back with you on a Monday. Joining us now, he is a legend, man. Actually, Wes Hodkiewicz from Packers.com wrote it best last night after the Sundance Wicks news broke as he heads to Wyoming. I'm biased because he's my best friend, but pound for pound, dollar for dollar, Scott Vincey is one of the best beat writers in the country. He was on top of this from the very beginning, and Scott Vincey joins us now. Scotty, great job this week, my man. How are you?
It's great to see you. I've known you for the listeners since you were in high school. Your voice has gotten much deeper. You've really matured.
Yeah, puberty is a beautiful thing, Scott.
Yeah. Congratulations. But
thank you.
Really do sound like a real radio voice. I'm proud of you. I always say that. I'm always proud of you. But yeah, I'm a little tired right now.
You do. Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. So it was Saturday when you reported it first in the Green Bay Press Gazette that there was conversations happening between Sonny Wicks after a year at Green Bay and Wyoming, where he ultimately signs a 5-year deal as their new head coach. I don't think anybody's shocked, just given his background with Wyoming, but the timing of this sucks, Scott. It's mid-May already.
Yeah, and that's exactly the word that Josh Moon, the athletic director there, said. This is the worst case possible scenario. Nobody could have seen it coming. There's not that many head coaching jobs that open up in the middle of May like this. But as soon as Wyoming's did and Jeff Linder went and took an assistant job with Texas Tech, it was on the radar right away that, okay, GB's going to have a problem here. It didn't take very long. Sonny obviously was their target the entire time. By this weekend, they're already in negotiations. I believe he probably pretty much had already signed the contract by Saturday night. It has given Josh Moon at least a little bit of a head start trying to get the replacement here, who I think could be here within the week, because they got a lot of things that they still have to do. Yeah.
So how do you dive into that process? Because I remember back in 2020 when Bo Ryan's son, Will Ryan, took the job, and that was a late hire, but that was also a wacky year, right? Like, college, the basketball tournament was suspended, and we didn't have an NCAA tournament that year. I don't know that the transfer portal and NIL, well, NIL didn't even exist yet, right? It was a totally different era of college basketball, albeit 4 years ago. So how does this process work? Could it be an internal promotion? Do they have somebody on speed dial? Like, I know Doug Gottlieb was a finalist for the job last year when Sonny Wicks got it. Could it be a guy like Gottlieb that's on the radar? Because you're insinuating this is going to be a fast process for UW Green Bay.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned him. I wasn't sure if I could say him on ESPN radio. I think he may be on arrival. But yes, so people will scoff at that, much like they did last year. But they were really, really impressed with him, so much that he became a finalist, a very serious contender. I believe that Josh, and you mentioned an internal candidate, would be Pat Monahan, who's kind of Sonny's right-hand guy there, really did the defense for them last year, which was actually pretty much their strong point overall. If Pat gets it, that would be a seamless transition in terms of more guys would probably stay. It wouldn't be as big of a task to try to build out the rest of this team. However, if Josh goes a different route and goes for a Doug Gottlieb or maybe a John Brennan, former Northern Kentucky Cincinnati coach, now you're going to have a guy coming in here who's probably going to lose a decent amount of this team. Some may actually go with Sonny to Wyoming. Yeah, Pat would probably go with Sonny to Wyoming. So now you're talking about we're May 15th here. You mentioned Will Ryan. That was a really tough way to start his tenure. And whether he was a good coach or not, we'll never know. But it did not give him a great situation to do that in COVID and to start that late. So that's what this new coach is looking for if you go outside of this program. And it's probably not going to be very pretty next season if you have to go outside the program and make a hire. Now, for the future, that might be the right way to go, but maybe not for right now.
Yeah, that's the part I'm fascinated by too, Scott, is the transfer portal implications this could have this late in the cycle, right? We saw Wisconsin, who we talk a ton about on this program, in Madison. They had a ton of entries into the transfer portal at the end of the year, right? And they're still trying to fill their roster. For Green Bay, I know they still have a couple of open scholarships, but if there is an outside candidate that comes in, and let's say this staff is wiped out, I would imagine there are going to be several names that enter the portal, and you might have to build a roster from scratch in mid-May and into early June.
And I'm always curious for the player perspective this late. Now, there's still a ton of people in the portal who have not found a new home. If you're a mid-range type of player, that's a risk to give up a scholarship and go out there this late and trying to find a roster spot. But what GB has to worry about is the Marcus Halls, the David Douglases, all freshman type of years that they had in the Horizon League. Those guys would easily be able to probably go with Sonny to Wyoming if they want. I believe he would absolutely take them. Now you're really talking about, we've lost all of our real, real impact players. A lot of guys in the portal, but you also mentioned they have three scholarships left still. So they're already still building in their team, whether Sonny was here or not. You're looking at probably having to replace, with those other three scholarships, another three, four players at least. Probably seven guys are gone. It's just, Alex, it's not a good situation for that.
No, it's not. And I have a couple more things on GB for you, Scott, because it's just so fascinating to me. But one name that was brought up to me, which I just realized, Jordan McCabe, who is one of the best high school players we've ever seen from Kakana High School, joined the staff, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Not even, basically. It's been basically, I think I did a story on him about 8-9 days ago. Yeah.
So do we anticipate he'll follow Sonny to Wyoming? Will he stay in Green Bay because he's a local guy? I'm just curious how that works out as he joins the program as an assistant coach, or is it way too early to tell on something like that?
Yeah, I was talking to Josh Moon yesterday. He basically said it was too early because they got to get the new coach in. But, you know, like I said, I think Pat would follow Sonny to Wyoming. Jordan McCabe is such an interesting one, man, because he's so young in his career. He came here specifically because of Sundance Wicks. Now, he is, like you said, a local guy, local legend. I'm very curious. Now, Jordan did play at UNLV for a couple years, and Sundance somewhat knew him because of that. He would be at least familiar with the conference and whatnot, but I would assume you also have to get a couple local guys. You may keep some guys from the Wyoming staff. The Jordan McCabe thing is definitely the biggest for me on this staff because, man, if he doesn't have a job after he kind of moved his entire life back here, that is a killer.
Totally. Scott Vancey, Green Bay Press Gazette with me here on Mr. Irrelevant. Scott, you've covered college basketball at Green Bay and just overall for a minute. And to see what this has evolved into, right? I'm just bringing up 2020. NIL wasn't a thing yet when Will Ryan was hired. What do you make of the way that this has changed? And I remember Sandy Cohen, another local guy, he had to sit for a full year when he transferred. That's out the window now. What do you make of these recent changes in college basketball? And do you view it as sustainable? Because I think everybody's having this conversation, and I've always really been curious on your thoughts on it.
Well, it's definitely not sustainable at the mid and major level. This is definitely going to kill programs over the long haul here. I like it for the players' perspective of players who are actually good enough that they can get some big NIL money. We had a guy here, Noah Reynolds, who absolutely came here for 1 year from Wyoming, by the way, had a great season, one of the best players in the Horizon League, was able to capitalize on that by going to TCU this offseason, got a pretty good NIL package. But it's everybody now who's taking advantage of this, and so many guys end up entering the portal, not finding a spot, and now falling back to D2 or whatnot because they can't find a spot. And I don't think that people are using the portal overall the way it's intended. It's intended for guys like Noah Reynolds who actually are worth much more than what they were getting through a scholarship and getting that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Now there's so many players who are fine players and have the right to look if they want, but now they're like, okay, I'm going to go to this school. Hey, I don't like it in Green Bay. It's boring. Now I'm going to go to this school. Then the next year they're on their third school. And like you said, there used to be a day where you at least had to sit out one season. Well, now it's just transfer as many times as you want and be able to start up right away. And there are guys now playing for three schools over a 4 or 5 year career. By the way, does student athlete, does that even mean anything anymore? I mean, how many of these guys are going to be able to graduate with that many transfers and what credits transfer? I just think it's really hurting the lower tier basketball, and something's going to have to change, or guys are just going to have to realize, hey, this isn't as great of a move as I think it is by entering, like the way teenagers used to be entering the NBA draft back in the day, where there would be like 10, 15 guys and you would never hear from them again. I think that might have to start happening with some of these mid-major guys.
I think you're spot on, dude. As always, I think you're spot on with that. So we keep using the term local legend. I view you as one in Green Bay. You have the NFL draft coming to town next year, Scott. What does that week look like for you? Is that like get out of Dodge, Airbnb, the home? Like, what do you do?
I have thought about that. I don't know if I trust some strangers to live here, even though I think you'd make a nice coin doing that. Thankfully, yeah. I'm a little bit away from the Lambeau Field area. And I don't know. I think you know this. I don't like people for the most part.
I'm especially aware. Yes. Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah. So I will definitely be as out of Dodge as possible, nowhere near Lambeau Field. But hey, I'm excited and happy for everybody else who likes to sit there, probably in some pretty cold weather, just to see some guy read some names off of a card when they don't really care about most of those teams. It's just who do the Packers draft?
What if they asked you to read a card, right? Like, what if the Packers came to you and said, hey, Scott Vancey, we want you to announce our sixth-round pick. Would you say yes to that opportunity?
Well, you know, as I told you, I mean, just even doing this stuff raises my anxiety level. I think I would have to decline. And you know what? I would go, hey, my boy Wesson Hockowitz, he deserves to read that card more than I would ask them, hey, he works for you, does a great job for you. Why don't you have him announce the seventh-round pick instead of me? So no, I would pass it up, but no offense to them, it's more me.
Okay, no, that's fair. That's fair enough. You're the absolute best, dude. I appreciate you taking the time, although the anxiety raised. I hope I didn't put you in a bad spot. I hope you would give this like a 10 out of 10 rating.
It was an 11 out of 10 because when it's just you and I talking like we always, it just feels like it's you and I. So it's all good. Thanks for having me on, Brian. Right.
Yeah, thanks for doing it, man. Really appreciate you. Hope to see you soon. We'll run into each other one of these days.
Absolutely.
It's always a surprise. Scott Vancey from the Green Bay Press Gazette does a great job covering all things Green Bay, UW Green Bay, some high school stuff in the area. I called him a local legend for a reason. He is exactly that. Scott, thanks again, buddy.
Take care, bud.
Local legend, Scott Vancey. Nothing better than that. All right, so we got a little bit into the weeds on Green Bay basketball there, but like I'm a nerd for mid-major stuff, and so is Hunter. So we love talking that. And it's a fascinating move, right? Like a college coach leaving in May is not normal, especially May 12th when it officially broke that he signed with Wyoming and he started tweeting about how he's back in Wyoming. It's just not normal. So it's a really weird situation that the University of Wisconsin Green Bay has to navigate through now. And we talked about a little bit of the implications. So Hunter, I'm curious of your takeaways from that awesome conversation with Scott.
You know, I think it's just the fact that like Sonny wanted to go home and he had the opportunity. You have to take it. If you feel like that's the school where you're home, I hadn't thought about what he brought up about transferring and the credits and everything and whether or not guys are going to be able to graduate. That's going to be fascinating in a few years here. If you hear about guys who are like, well, I have no eligibility and I also am like a semester's worth of credits short, so I don't know what to do now. Like that could be a real problem that the NCAA runs into, and it's going to be really hard for them to continue to try and toe that line of, well, they're athletes. We shouldn't be signing them as employees of the school. It's going to be hard to defend that.
I think that's a really good point. And it's not sustainable at the mid-major level, and it's barely sustainable at the major level, right? I mean, we saw the Pac-12 cease to exist now. So in college football, you're down to the Power Four, and in college basketball, you're down to the Power Five, with the Big East obviously being a terrific basketball conference. I'm very curious to see how it continues to evolve and if there will be rules put in place and different stuff like that, right? Like you see what's happening at Wisconsin. And while I am one of few people, it seems these days, that still has full faith in Greg Gard and his ability to coach a really good basketball team and his ability to recruit, it's really hard for Wisconsin to hang on to a guy like AJ Storr or a guy like Chucky Hepburn when they're going to go make heavy six figures at sometimes a smaller school. but a school that has a better NIL package for basketball, right? Like, I view the Big East as a very, very interesting case because we're in Milwaukee. Let's use Marquette as the example. It's a basketball school. Kentucky is a basketball school. Kansas is a basketball school, although their football program has been a little bit better the last few years with Lance Leipold, the former UW-Whitewater coach, leading the charge there. At basketball schools, it's going to be fine. But for Wisconsin, which is probably more of a football school and a hockey school and a volleyball school than it is a basketball school, I'm curious what that looks like 5 years from now. And for a Green Bay, that's a mid-major just trying to recruit some guys like a Noah Reynolds, who he brought up, who initially were committed to Wisconsin. And then A.J. Storr committed to Wisconsin. Noah Reynolds decommits and goes to Green Bay. And now he's at TCU with a nice NIL package. So it's really weird to me, man. Like, I'm a fan of it, and I think everybody would agree. The players deserve compensation. But there's got to be some rules around it because it is just completely the wild, wild west. And to take that a step further, I don't like that Sonny Wicks is leaving in mid-May. It's not his fault because the job came open. But the head coach at Wyoming leaves in mid-May to go take an assistant job. And, of course, with his ties to Wyoming, that job comes available and he gets offered, he's going to say yes. It's just really wacky all around. So you need some rules for coaches, too, in the timeline of when those changes happen. You just need more order and less chaos.
Well, and it's also the fact that, like, there's only so much money out there. There's only so much money that you can be asking these boosters and these donors to keep giving to your programs. And it's like, okay, if I hypothetically have $10 million to give to the university, and I'm normally giving $5 million of it to the communications program, and then the other $5 million I'm giving it to athletics, and for me, say, specifically to football. But now all of a sudden they're like, hey, you know, we could go get this wide receiver. I just need like $100,000 more. Oh, hey, we need this linebacker. I want another $100,000. Like, we're seeing it in the media world with streaming stuff, and they're having to up prices because there's only so many people that can watch things, and they need to figure out how to make this money. It's going to happen the same way with the NIL. We're going to see a point where there is only so much money that you can get, and either donors are going to stop giving to the academic side of these schools, or players aren't going to get the money they want, and then they're going to have to realize, oh, maybe I shouldn't be asking for $250,000 to go and play basketball somewhere. Or some of these guys who it's, you know, $2 million to get a quarterback. At some point, someone's going to have to flinch. Unfortunately, I think it's going to end up being the players and not the schools, because usually the people that have more power also are going to be the ones controlling the money.
It's a great point. I'm sure we'll talk more about that over the course of the summer and as we lead up to the college football season, because it isn't stopping. It's only going to get crazier, but we will keep an eye on that. But Scott was awesome on that. I thought his insight in for perspective, right? Like, Scott's covered Green Bay through crap and through the best years they've had since, you know, the 19 early 90s, I think they made the tournament. But Scott's been through it all, right? So seeing the evolution of you know, when kids transferred, they had to sit out. I thought he had a money perspective on that. So thanks again to Scott Vancey from the Green Bay Press Gazette. Terrific job. I mean, he is a terrific writer, really talented. And he was on top of this from the second it started in Green Bay. So well done by him. All right, I wanted to do this because Bill Barnwell wrote an article on ESPN.com where he ranked, essentially after the draft, all 32 NFL teams and where they stand in the league. And Hunter, you read this article. I didn't, but it did. I did want to evaluate where we think the Packers are in terms of the NFC. The Packers ranked 10th overall in the NFL, following the NFL draft,
correct,
according to Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com. Got it. Yep. And I know Dallas was right behind them. You told me that at 11.
Yep.
And they ranked 4th in the NFC, which I think is probably about right as it stands here on May 13th. But I did want to just run through it with you, Hunter. I wanted to do this together just to see where we think teams stand in the NFC alone as we enter OTAs and eventually training camp and obviously schedule release week this week. So you and I would agree the favorite in the NFC is still San Francisco, correct?
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Okay. from there, I would go Detroit. I still think Detroit, after an NFC Championship game appearance, after some of the things they did in the draft, beefing up the defensive backfield, Jared Goff is working on a new deal. It seems like Jameson Williams at wide receiver is ready to take that next step. They have the best one of the best tight ends in the league, by far the best young tight end in the league, in Sam Laporta. And Jahmyr Gibbs, one of the best young running backs in the league on that offense. I'd put Detroit number two as it stands in the NFC. You with me?
Yeah, I'm on the same page there. I think after these top two teams, though, is where things, well, actually, I'm going to say after these top three teams, I think things get very interesting. I know exactly who I would put at number three.
Well, tell me who that is, and I'll see if I agree with you.
It's the Packers. I think they, with the moves that they've made with both free agency as well as in the draft, they're the number three team in the NFC. I know there's another team from the Cowboys division that people will want to put ahead of them, but they've got to prove to me that they fixed all of the weird drama issues they had going on. Plus, they just lost their biggest, most vocal leader in the Philadelphia Eagles with Jason Kelce retiring. That's going to be really hard for them to try and recover from that.
So I'm with you. I have the Packers slotted at number three as well. I do like what Philly did in the draft, and we'll talk more about them in a second. I have Green Bay number three. I think just given what we saw, now we're betting on projection a lot though with Green Bay, right? To your point, what they did in the draft, some of the free agent signings and Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. And by the way, the biggest part, they have a new defense and a new defensive coordinator with Jeff Hafley coming in. So you're guessing that's going to work out better than it did last year for Joe Barry by putting them at number three. But I like what I've seen from their defense and the investment they've put in their defense. That counts McKinney, obviously, but you still have some really, really good players on that defense and Kenny Clark and Jair Alexander. And I think Quay Walker is a guy. We talked about it shortly after Barry was fired a ton. My number one question I would have asked a defensive coordinator candidate is, how do you see yourself getting Quay Walker to the next level? Because I think he's got the ability. I think he's got the skill set. It's just he hasn't been put in the best positions. I think Jeff Hafley is going to find a way to make Quay Walker the centerpiece of this defense. That's my hope, at least. So I have Green Bay number three. I think I might go Dallas fourth and then Philly fifth. That might be how it shakes out in my head.
I have a feeling it may end up there. But you know how I am about the Cowboys. I'm just so pessimistic about them.
Rightfully so.
And I just, there's this lingering feeling that Philly is just going to bounce back and completely prove me wrong. But the way that they ended their season, I completely understand people thinking that the Cowboys are going to be better. Because that was one of the worst collapses we've ever seen from a team. They were playing like no they doubt. Should have. They were automatically going to be in the NFC Championship game. And then all of a sudden, they totally. Played San Francisco, got just the doors beat off by them. And then they went down to Dallas on Sunday Night Football and got embarrassed in AT&T Stadium. It was a great game to be at. Absolutely loved it. But then they just fell apart from there. And, oh, I have a weird feeling, too, with this Philly team. They're going to start the season off great. Everybody's going to, they figured it out. They're fine. They're going to be okay. They might collapse again. And then Nick Sirianni's going to be gone. I just have a weird feeling that that's how their season's going to go.
I really do like what they've done with their defense, right? Like, they debatably got two of, if not the two best, but two of the top four defensive backs in the draft, and Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, Philly did. So those moves intrigue me, and then they drafted Jeremiah Trotter's son at linebacker in the middle rounds. Not that he'll make an impact his rookie year, but you've got Jordan Love going against two of my draft crushes, and Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean in week one in Brazil, and just throw in the name Jeremiah Trotter because it's funny to me in week one. So that is that's how it shakes out of my head. Now, the next two teams I would put at 6 and 7 in no order are Tampa Bay and Chicago. And I think you could throw the Rams in that debate too, 6 through 8. But I really like Tampa. They just paid Antoine Winfield while we've been having this conversation. He's now the highest paid defensive back in the NFL. Baker Mayfield had a rejuvenating season last year. Like he looked like a franchise quarterback last year. They were a playoff team. Chicago, we've talked a lot about over the course of the last 2 weeks. They were a 7-win team a year ago. They add Keenan Allen. They add DeAndre Swift. They add Gerald Everett. They add Romo Dunze. And by the way, they add the best quarterback in the draft in Caleb Williams. I think they're in the debate of being the sixth or seventh best team in the NFC. I think the Rams, if Stafford's healthy all year, of course he's in the conversation with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp on his offense, but you lose Aaron Donald. So I don't know how good that defensive front will be for Los Angeles next year. How would you rank those three teams? Bucks, Bears, Rams.
I would almost go Bears, Bucks, Rams. The Rams are going to have to turn into like a Big 12 offense sort of team where they just have to score a billion points to be able to win games. And that's really hard to do consistently in the NFL. The Bears, I feel like they're going to kind of have a similar season to what the Packers had this last year. They're going to look really good at times, but then they're also going to have stretches where like, oh yeah, they have a rookie quarterback and a rookie quarterback that is trying to play a very different style of football from what he was used to in college. He's going to struggle at times. They're not going to look good at times. They may not look good until like week four or five of the season even, but then they're going to go on a stretch and look really good. And I think they'll still be fighting for a playoff spot. I know Packer fans don't want to hear that, but the reality is the Bears are a much better team than what people think they are, and it's because they had that number one pick and because they won that trade against Carolina.
I'm with you on that. I think the Bears, and look, I don't love giving the Bears credit, but I think they're an interesting team this year. I'm going to tier the rest of these rather than rank them. I think the group that says, hey, you got to show it to me, is the following team: Seattle with a new head coach, New Orleans, Minnesota with a wacky quarterback situation. And I'd still throw the Cardinals in there if Kyler Murray's healthy. And then the teams I just totally don't believe in are the Falcons, the Commanders, the Panthers, and the Giants. Those are the teams I just don't believe in. So that's how I would rank the rest of the NFC with those eight teams. Those are the years I would put them in.
Well, you're also forgetting with Kyler is looking at where the schedule is when the new Call of Duty game comes out, because that could turn into a bit of an issue for him as well. If there's some late nights trying to grind those prestiges on ranked, that's going to be tough for them, and they might struggle. He might not be ready to go.
Yeah, he's never going to live that one down, Hunter. You're so right about that. So there we go. There's our NFC power rankings. Hunter and I agree. Packers rank third in the NFC, just behind San Francisco and Detroit as it stands right now. But there's a couple other teams. There's two in the East specifically, Dallas and Philadelphia, that are still in the conversation there in your top five. So I think it'll be something fun to monitor, especially when you get two of those top five teams in week one between Philadelphia and Green Bay. And I didn't even mention it earlier when we were talking about the schedule. We know the opener now, and that will be Baltimore and Kansas City. It's a rematch of the AFC Championship game to open the season on that Thursday night. Baltimore, Kansas City. And you'll remember last year it was Detroit, Kansas City in the opener, and Detroit won that one on the road. So something to keep an eye on as Baltimore looks for revenge to kick off the NFL season in early September. All right, time to wrap up the show as we always do. You learn something new every day. I learn something new this weekend. It is time now for What Strofe Learned. I'd like to give, first off, a congratulatory vocalization to Colin Russo. Colin Russo, host of The Great Dane Huddle, Monday nights on ESPN Madison, and you see him often on Fridays here on Mr. Irrelevant. He graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison over the weekend. Really happy for Colin. Really really proud of him for getting it done in 4 years. I don't think any of us thought he could do it. But I've got a bone to pick with him. I don't have the picture because it was a private picture. I'm not going to share without his permission. But him at Camp Randall Stadium, I will still explain it to you. Him at Camp Randall Stadium ahead of graduation on Saturday posted a picture. He was wearing a polo, which is great, right, as you should, and a nice dress up. It was a University of Connecticut polo. He was wearing a UConn Huskies polo while graduating from the University of Wisconsin. To me, that's just in poor taste. That is not a good move when you're graduating from a Big Ten university to rep a different university. That is weird to me, Hunter. Is that strange to you as well, what Colin Russo did?
Like, if he's so proud of UConn and everything they did on the basketball court this year, then just go to school at UConn. Go spend your 4 years there. Like, you just graduated from the University of Wisconsin. He hosted ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day during the football season. Badgers football. Can't even wear Cardinal and white when he graduates from the stinking university. It's the most on-brand thing for Colin Russo to just be like, oh, look at me, I'm gonna wear UConn stuff, because he did it intentionally. And that's what drives me crazy about him, because like, he just can't take that one moment seriously and be like, hey, I'm graduating from the premier school in this state, a great university around the world. Like, I'll just wear the Motion W one time when I'm graduating. Nope, nope. Gotta be different. Gotta wear that UConn stuff.
Totally. I'd love to hear his response tonight on the Great Dane Huddle, because that is a strange play by Kyle Newsom. But I will give him credit as we wrap up. Pretty Ricky 213 on Twitter reported Antoine Winfield will be the highest paid defensive back in the NFL 3 days ago. It just got reported while we've been on the air. So there you go. Pretty Ricky ahead of it again, and that's a Colin Russo find. So I'll give him credit on that, but we'll not give him credit for wearing a UConn polo to the University of Wisconsin graduation. That does it for us today. We're back with you Wednesday beginning at 12:30 on the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison YouTube channel. If you haven't already, make sure you give the video a thumbs up, subscribe to the channels, turn on that notification bell. All of our ESPN Wisconsin programming is live with you on those pages, so you don't have to miss a minute of all of our live programming throughout the days. If you missed any of the show, you want to listen to it on the audio side, you can find Mr. Irrelevant wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, and of course the video side available, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. Looking forward to talking to you on Wednesday. We'll see you then. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Stroh. Peace.